So welcome to another episode of the Walking Down Street Foot Lane podcast with Bin Man. And this week's guest is Paddy Harwood. How's it going?
Hi, good lads. How are you?
Yeah, all good, matey. You okay?
Yeah, great. Just put the kids to bed, so a bit of peace now.
Well, glad we can have you on for a short while, Paddy. But it'd be very interesting to hear your thoughts on what we've got to ask you, matey. I want your thoughts on from Saturday, from the Colchester, the 3-0 draw. Please, if you don't mind.
Well, we got out of jail a little bit, didn't we? Especially after such a bad start. We seem to just be conceding the same goals time and time again. Yeah, I mean, it's good to get it. Well, good. As good as it can be to get a draw in League Two, but the result was decent enough. Second half, they played well, to be fair. I liked the look of the new lad, but it reminded me very much of, remember Johnny Placide's debut against Peterborough? And everyone was lording over him, and I just think, let him have a few more games first. I think it helps having someone like McElhane up there, because he seems quite dangerous, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He played well on Saturday.
The biggest concern I've got, though, is that we're needing to score three goals to get a point at the moment. Because, you know, conceded three against Stevenage, three against Crawley, three on Saturday. And it's no good, really. Yeah. We can't be playing like that all the time. And you got, like, Pierre Gianni's an absolute shadow of himself, isn't he, at the moment? And John Batty's a disaster. Hamer, I cannot believe what I'm reading about Hamer and clubs in the Championship wanting him.
Borthwick-Jackson. No, it's been okay. I don't get the gig with him, me, Paddy.
No, I mean, he's young and... You know, I'm sure you can remember about 10 years back, I was writing Tarky off and now talking about 50 million.
Me, you both.
He weren't good when he first broke in, was he? But you need to probably give him a bit of a chance. But he just seems to have gone backwards a lot, Hamer, for me recently.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, we know he's a natural right back, isn't he, Paddy? Which he has. I know he has played centre half.
I don't know, Brad, Nath, to be honest. I don't know. I can't work out what his best position is.
He's played a lot of positions, and I think both every manager he's played under, I think they've not really known what his best position is, because obviously when Wellens came in, he threw him straight in at right back against Oxford, and then they thought that would be his position, but he doesn't get forward enough to be a right back.
His delivery is dreadful as well, isn't it?
His
delivery is nowhere near good enough. I mean, I spoke to one previous manager, and he kind of says they don't trust him enough to be a centre half. Now, I mean, I'm not sure he really should be a right back either. But I mean, what have we got? What's our alternative at the moment? But it's more the
Dylan Page is the only one.
It's more the fact that the you know, he gets linked with big clubs. That's what I really don't. Sorry, I've just got a little laddie.
Don't worry, mate.
It's more the fact he's getting linked with such big clubs that I really, really can't get my head around at all. And they must be seeing something that I'm not.
Well, I was thinking that. I agree with Pat. Like you say about John Batty, John Batty is an actual right back, you know. I don't know if you knew. He's an actual natural position to right back. And obviously he's been playing centre half, hasn't he?
Well, this is another one I see. I'm not sure about him as well, whether he should be right back or centre back. He did start right back, didn't he, on Saturday?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
They reverted back at half time, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
I think they went three at the back. I think on Saturday, they ended up going three at the back, which maybe suited the team, because obviously they had Boffrit Jackson went off injured and Badden went off injured. So it left with Bennett and Fager were playing more as wingers. So I think we played more of a 3-4-3-4.
Was that second half?
Which may be the way... It's second half, yeah. That may be the way which we might be looking to go, because obviously with John Batty and Hamer both basically not knowing the positions, it's down to Pidgeon in the middle, and both of them probably play centre half and play 3-4-3, which might be a formation which might be. You see a lot of teams playing that in this day and age.
But you're a better man than me, Brad, making some sense out of Harry Kewell's tactics anyway.
Well, we'll go on to that now, Paddy. Obviously, Harry Kewell, I'll let Brad answer that about Harry Kewell. Go on, matey.
Yeah, so it's not been the best at the best of start. Obviously, the first half performance at Colchester, it could have been 3-4 nil by the time when we scored on the what do you think he's doing? Obviously, tactically, his subs don't sometimes make sense. Obviously, he was forced to make two of the subs, and the other one he made at half time obviously worked. He came on and changed the game with a new lad on there. But what do you think he was overall performance? Obviously, we're getting now into 5, 6, 7 games into the season. And obviously, the table will start showing itself soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure you lads are the same. If you could have handpicked 3 fixtures to start your season, you'd have probably gone for Orient, Stevenage, Crawley. You can't really get much easier than that.
And no,
to
pick couldn't.
0 points up from that is nothing short of a disgrace, really. His comments pre and post match baffle me. I sometimes don't understand what game he's watching, what club he's talking about. He came out, was it last week? I can't keep up with dates at the moment. Came out when the Wheater and Woods thing came and said he didn't see a problem with it at all. Well, we're shipping 3 goals a game. Yeah, far from impressing. I think after definitely the Stevenage game, but also the Crawley game, he's very lucky that fans weren't in the ground. Because you guys were at Cheltenham, weren't you, in January?
Yeah.
And you saw the reaction at the end of that game towards Dino and the players. And I think that Stevenage game would have been very similar. Because, you know, let's not forget they stayed up on a technicality and they absolutely bummed us 3-0, didn't they?
Yeah. You know, you look at that game, Steve, Paddy, I was, you know, I'd never be ashamed to support all of them. I love the club, but I looked at myself and thought, why do I do it? Why do I do it? You know, and I don't want to feel like that, Paddy, because this is our club, all our club, Paddy. We love it. You know, take a bullet for that club, but, you know, getting defeat at Stevenage, that surely gone out the league. If it weren't for Macclesfield, you know, it brings it home, doesn't it, Paddy, of how far we have fallen.
Oh, God, yeah. That was disgraceful, that. And, I mean, to be fair, I'd have been happy if he'd have handed in his resignation at the end of that game. He's got a lot to do to convince me and others, to be honest. His record at Crawley and Notts wasn't great either. I didn't go to the game a few years ago, you know, when we played Notts County. But Titch went with his brother, and Titch said to me that was one of the worst teams he's ever seen, the Notts County team. And obviously they did end up going down that season. So I was a bit uninspired when they appointed him. But been even more uninspired since I've seen his teams and the performances they put out.
Yeah, no, it's not been great, has it? Like you say, you look at that. But I think, how long did he leave after that game against us, Brad?
Was it straight after?
Oh, did he? Right? I didn't know it was that soon.
Well, straight after, they sacked him. Yeah, more or less, they sacked him.
It was bonfire night, wasn't it?
We're on the backs.
Yeah, I remember that's why I didn't go,
that game.
Yeah, it was absolutely dreadful.
I think we battered them, and then I think Ishmael Miller missed a few sitters that game, and their fans turned on him quickly, and it just gave it. And when we appointed Q, I had a look at Notts County's Twitter to see what obviously the line. Not really much on the Crawley Twitter because I don't think they have much fans engaged, but Notts County, I had a look on there, and the fans said that he was arrogant. He just didn't know what he was doing, and you can see some of that when he's speaking in his interviews that he is arrogant and he thinks that he should be better than what he is. It's not the case here. He would have started well then, fair enough. But it's just dying. As I said, we got our jail.
I don't get why he wants to come and manage in lower league. The guy's got enough money that his probably grandkids don't need to work again.
Yeah,
I don't get why he put himself through it. But
why is he here then, Paddy? That's why is he here.
Are you suggesting ulterior motives there, Nathan?
Yes, I am. But no, why is he here? When I got the message that he's been appointed manager, Paddy, I genuinely thought it was a hoax.
Yeah.
I thought, are we being serious here? Or someone actually taking the mic? And I thought, really? The guy who's had assembled a team that went out the league, an established football league club, Paddy. League a very long time.
Yeah, by the same token, let's be a bit fair to him. What did he have? He had about 10 games there. But yeah, it wasn't inspiring, was it, when he was appointed? But it was obviously something that we'd had lined up for a while. He's got links with the owner, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he has.
Yeah, the previous dealings. Obviously, when we announced Kewell, Abdallah in the Australian press turned around and said that he's always looked to appoint Kewell. But looking like back last year, he's been out with a job, so obviously he could have appointed him whenever. And the way that obviously Dino left it, left a bit of sour taste in the mouth. Obviously, Dino wasn't the fans' favourite. Not too sure yourself, Paddy. I think you got his back a bit. I think I did.
Oh,
I think
I'm
did
first
well
one to admit
man.
It.
But would you?
No,
would you
absolutely not. The only mistake that he made, Abdallah, was waiting until June, July, whenever it was to sack him. He could have been sacked on 6 separate occasions last season due to poor performances. I think about the games around Christmas and New Year, it was Salford, Scunny, and then Cheltenham. Yeah. I'd have happily, he shouldn't have been allowed back on the team coach, to be honest, after Cheltenham.
Yeah,
I've got no problem with him being sacked. The timing of it perhaps doesn't make sense, but then obviously he was on furlough, weren't he? And then the club weren't actually paying him the money. It was the government that were paying him. So why would they sack him while they're not paying him to be the manager? You know, I think they waited, didn't they, until the furlough ended. Is that right? I mean, yeah. You guys probably know.
I think it was the day before. On they announced obviously the players, and nothing's been said since the players. Obviously, the furlough ends end of October, so probably more than likely they're going to be released. But yeah, it was the day before the players had to come back. And
I've actually spoke to him a few times over lockdown because he, as you just mentioned, I got on his case a little bit, and he did message me and asked for my number. He phoned me quite a few times. And he basically said he phoned me the day Kewell was appointed, the day after he got sacked, after Dean had been sacked. And he said the final straw was, well, actually, I might tell you off record, actually. But basically, it was difference in opinion with recruitment and one player in particular turning up who Dino had never even heard of, well, not heard of, but didn't want at the club. And he now plays for us. And that was a bit apparently the final straw that made the big kickoff, which led to him leaving. But in terms of him being sat now, I'd have happily seen him go 6 months earlier than he actually did. In fact, he shouldn't have been appointed in the first place. For all the bad decisions Abdallah's made, probably the best decisions he has made has been sacking the managers he has.
No, you know, you look at how contradictory. You know, obviously at the fans forum, Paddy, when Abdallah turned around and the rest of them on there saying any of my managers concede 6 at a game is no good, no belong here. But Paddy.
Yeah, we lost 6-1.
The following Saturday, well, they got beat 6-1 and he was still in the job.
But to be fair, he was right though. If you concede 6 in a game, lose a game 6-0, 6-1, for my money, you should offer your resignation at the end of it. If you're away, you shouldn't get back on the team coach. It's unacceptable. Yeah.
It was a disgrace out at Mansfield, Paddy.
I didn't go. I went to Halifax. They played, I can't remember who they played, Boreham Wood, I think. I went watching Halifax instead, and I was with my mate. And we got a message through, because obviously Barry had made the Nicky Maynard comments, hadn't he? So we got the Maynard 1-0, Maynard 2-0, player sent off, another player sent off, and then the Maynard hatchery. And it was just thought you could just see it all unravelling.
Yeah, it was. It was absolute. But to be fair, I left at 66 minute on that game, Paddy. And I don't really like leaving games. I never will, you know. But I left, and I see as I'm walking out, our fans are celebrating at bottom with all.
Well, that's a disgrace as well, isn't it? I saw the pictures. You know. They've been applauded off like heroes. And Titch again actually was at that game.
Yeah.
But it's an absolute disgrace. You shouldn't be heralded as heroes for losing a game 6-1.
No, you shouldn't. No, never. And I don't care if it's the last game of the season, Paddy. We've got nothing to play. I hate to shit 6 in, or 5 or 4. No, and actually celebrate with your shirts off like with one promotion.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
It's not good. It's not good behaviour.
I always remember like one of the worst ones. I don't know if you were there, Paddy. One of the MK Dan trashing under Lee Johnson with everything with Paddy Kenny going on, and he came off the pitch laughing, and then the fans were just I think it was 21st of December, so right before Christmas, so there weren't that many there. The fans were actually giving it Johnson. He came over, he took it, but people proper giving it, and that's what it should be like at the end of the game. But you touched on before, obviously, about the recruitment side of things. Obviously, Kewell's not really had a say in what has been brought in. He said, well, we've heard rumours that Badham was one of his signers who he recommended, and Sherwood. Sherwood. Blackwood. I don't know why Tim. I said Sherwood. Tim Sherwood, yeah. Yeah, Blackwood, obviously, Australian connection. Obviously, he's played quite a few games now, Blackwood. Now he's seen what he's done and the rest of the players that we brought
yeah,
in.
Yeah, well, I think I've mentioned to Nath before, I think people got a bit carried away because we were signing English players and we weren't signing the likes of Marvin Coles and what's the other one called? The Snapchat lad. Gonzalez, was it? Yeah. And I think people got a bit carried away thinking, oh, well, they've changed what they're doing because they're signing English players. But you look at the midfield too, who started that the opening game of the season, Gavity and Whelan. None of them have played a football league match in the career, had they? And
no.
We need an experienced man in the middle. The lad from Leeds looks tidy. He does look a decent player, but we still need that old head. Someone like McCann, who I suspect would never come back to us as things stand. I heard talk of Dean Marnie, you know, he was at Fleetwood. I think these are the kind of players that we need an old head in the middle who just put the foot on the ball, just calm everybody down. McCann was great for us last season doing that. He was brilliant. He was a really good signing. And to be honest, I think we should have done everything in our power to keep him. And I know there were issues there between him and the club that couldn't be resolved, but I think we should have done more to try and keep him on. But yeah, I think basically, I just genuinely think people got a bit carried away because we've signed English-based players, people getting carried away over ordinary loan spells like Borthwick Jackson had last season. And now I saw when we signed him, I saw he was being lauded as the new Roberto Carlos. And I didn't really rate him much last season. Piergiani was brilliant last season alongside Wieter. I thought he was fantastic, but he seemed a different player, don't he, without him there. Keepers.
He looks lost.
The keeper, yeah. I'm quite happy with. I know we're shipping quite a lot of goals, but the Stevens game. No, I thought Stevens really stopped it being 8 or 9. To be honest,
really been his fault.
Yeah, he did.
Is he playing tonight?
Yeah, he's playing.
Is he playing? I've not seen the team tonight. Actually, what's he done? Has he done full strength?
Full strength. I think he's changed a few, like with Keeler Dunn.
I think Rowe's starting into so Rowe's starting as well.
Oh, is he?
He's on the bench, Sammy.
Yeah. Obviously, you're not the biggest fan of Danny Rowe.
Not really, but I didn't understand the decision to bring him off when we needed a goal with 5 minutes left against Crawley. But
I didn't understand that. You want to have all your forwards on, don't you, Paddy?
Yeah.
You're chasing the game.
He doesn't seem to bust the guts to get in the box like you'd like strikers to do. And I can see why Kewell takes him out of the team quite a lot. But then the last game he played, he did score, didn't he? I'm not completely taken with him. I also think, like, why is it taken to 31 years of age for a league club to take a punt on him? You know, he's been banging them in for failed for years, and there'll have been clubs watching him, and there'll be a reason that these clubs haven't taken him on.
Well, when he first come, Paddy, I thought, because we played him as a number 10 a few times, didn't we, under Dino? Mm. He always used to drop deep, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's what I noticed. Is he an actual number 9, Paddy? I know, as you say, he scored a lot of goals at Fylde, so you expect him to be a number 9, but is he a number 9 or is he a number 10?
I think his game is playing deep, to be honest. Yeah. I think if you look at a lot of his goals were screamers, absolute stonkers at Fylde. We went and watched them last year against Halifax. It was in the summer. And Halifax beat him 4-1. And he was absolutely garbage. He ended up playing just off the centre-back a lot of the time, coming getting the ball. But he did score. Yeah. They lost 4-1. He scored, but he was rubbish. But you can just tell that he always wanted to drop deep. He does always want to get on the ball, to be fair to him as well. But no, I'm not convinced that he's League Two quality.
No, but it's better than what we've had though, Paddy, in the last year. I'll be really honest with you on that. He's better than Desire.
Well,
I know it's not hard to be better.
I'm going
to
assess all me and you.
Yeah. I don't know now, Paddy. I'm gone.
Hey, actually, Nate, I've got a question that a few of my mates want to know. Why do people call you Bin Man? Because you're not a Bin Man, are you?
No, I actually handle footlongs, Paddy. when I was a kid, I wanted to be a Bin Man.
Ah, right.
And I was from 4 or 5. I used to have an obsession with it. And I've had that nickname now for over 26 years. I walk down the street, Paddy, people go, Nathan, I'm ignoring them. Bin Man. And then I acknowledge them, but that's my name, Paddy. I prefer that more than my name. Why is it? That's why.
Well, yeah, that's no, we were talking about your podcast the other week and they were saying, why did they call him a bin man? He doesn't work. He isn't a bin man, is he? And I said, I didn't think so. Yeah. So I said I'd ask.
Yeah, it's my nickname. Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, if you say so.
I love it, mate. I do. I love it, Paddy. But we'll go on to fans forums coming up in a... from last year, you know, is that 10th of October? Did you say, Bradders? 10th of October.
10th obviously, of October, you know,
it's coming
up to a
year now since that, and obviously eight to nine months since obviously our last meeting in January, Paddy. Do you think anything's changed from them? Obviously, I know the fans forum was a bit heated and a lot got said, but you know,
I mean, there's the theory that they've changed the recruitment, isn't there, in terms of going for more domestic based players. They still slip the odd one or two in, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I don't think it's changed in terms of the respect or lack of that they treat the fans with, the farce with the North Stand. It's just a disgrace, really. Is that where your tickets were? You're behind me, aren't you? Yeah, you're behind me. No, I mean,
go in there for sweets, Paddy.
if I was a fan who had a season ticket in the North Stand, I'd be telling them where to stick it, because I think it's a disgrace what they've done to the fans who are in there.
You know,
they just these petty squabbles in it, and Abdallah I think he's past the point of no return now. Could have helped himself out a lot about a year, 18 months ago by removing a few people who perhaps close and advising him, working for him, perhaps not giving him the best advice, or what I perceive to be the best advice. I would just like to clear something up about the fans forum, though, because obviously it was me that made the Dylan Fage comments, weren't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it wasn't,
yeah.
Under no circumstances was it me saying he is rubbish. It was more me saying, like, how can Mo say that lots of other clubs want him when we've not really seen anything of him? But a year on, I will go on record and say he is absolutely rubbish.
Brilliant, brilliant. yes, who wants him now, Paddy?
Well, I'd be amazed if anybody does.
He's playing every week. Apparently, all of a sudden, he started playing every week under Dino. I don't even think he got a sniff. But
is he playing tonight as well?
Games, aren't he now? And, obviously,
yes, he is. Isn't he? He's in, yes.
I'm not going to say anything else on that matter.
Right, no, that's fair enough. But do you think, obviously, like you said about recruitment, you go on about, the recruitment has been good and it has been better, Paddy. Obviously, that's what we want.
I didn't say good, Nathan. I wouldn't say the recruitment's been good. It's improved in terms of the more domestic base, but you know, the quality's still been pretty similar, hasn't it?
Yeah, has it? Like I said, I didn't mean to say it's a good thing like that. I just mean it's good to have British based players that know the league. You know, Clemmie knows the league quite a bit. You know, we did have Wheater in there, obviously. He's obviously not involved with the first team. Lawler, who's been about a bit. You know, we have got players in there now, do know the league. But we do, like you said, Paddy, previous, we do need someone to sit definitely in that team, someone in midfield to control the game. We ain't got no one in midfield that can control that game, you know.
One of the things though, Ben, man, which I've noticed, majority of these players which we are signing, they are from the same agency. So are we set? Obviously, we're signing one of the agency's better players. Are we being told to sign some of the lesser ones? Like obviously, we've got Bennett, and we've got. I said we were talking before that.
Like, oh, Carl Jameson, yeah. Carl
Jameson. Yeah, we've not seen since, but. So is it just one of these clauses where we've got a side? Obviously, we want to sign.
To be fair, I think that's something that does probably go on in football quite a lot. You know, if an agent helps out with another deal, then can you tickle this agent's back by taking this player? And I'm sure Ross Coyne will take great delight in telling you this, but it's definitely something that our previous owner used to do quite a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he had a certain type of player he liked signing.
I think that happens with a lot of them, you know, it does. Yeah. But, Paddy, will touch on to Natalie, obviously the previous, and now the Carl who's new. I want your take on Natalie and what you thought. Did you share that position well? Would you think she has improved things? And the new guy, Carl, if you could just discuss that, please, Paul.
Well, in terms of Natalie, no, absolutely not. Basically, Natalie was great at communication when there was something in it for them. But when you were trying to get something out of them, for example, the season ticket refunds, she was very, very hit and miss when she did return people's phone calls, people's emails. I think it's perhaps a bit unfair that he's let her run the club throughout all this lockdown and this mess, and then canned her once it's all over. Well, once everyone was back. But no, I wasn't really impressed. I didn't like the way she spoke to us, to be honest. You know, the four of them, I always found her a little bit patronising.
Yeah, I found her like that, Paddy. I found her.
When I spoke to her after the January fans forum, she pulled me to one side. After it said that, she had a complaint because Partington had a bit of a do with him at Cheltenham, because I called him a happy clapper. They give him a bit. I said, "You're gonna be a keyboard warrior now." So, like, basically, said to my face, and obviously he went and complained. And then she turned around and said, "Oh, I've heard you done this. I've heard you done that." Well, I went, "Well, there's two sides to every story. What you're not gonna get my side?" She went, "No. If we hear anything more, if he does say anything more, we will." Take it first.
I'd be interested to see how far she got on with the redevelopment of Chapel Road, because she told us in January that she was project managing that, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
So
yeah.
I'd be interested to see how far along the line she got with that.
Yeah.
She also, I don't know if you've seen the push the boundary notes, but she did say to them that any season ticket income would be classed as extra revenue, so not necessarily what would keep the club running. Which I know as it prompted a few fans that I know to ask for their refunds back. You know,
she didn't
really push season tickets during the lockdown. I think it was Orient. Orient were pushing it constantly. They sold over 3,000, I think. And you know, there was nothing really with us. I wasn't a big fan at all. No, as for Carl. I don't know much about him. I was speaking to Steve Shipman from Push the Boundary the other day, actually, and he's met him a few times. He seems like he's quite receptive, understands what the fans want. But the thing is, everybody says the right things when they first start, don't they?
Yeah, get everyone on board, and you know, and we all want to be singing from the same sheet, Paddy, don't we? You know, we all want to, and I you know, we always expect someone new to come in and speak like that, but we just want to see difference. We're wanting to challenge the owner. We're wanting to get answers from him. You know, when was the last time we heard from him?
I'd be happy to never hear from him again, to be honest.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, Paddy. I wouldn't lose sleep if he'd left tomorrow. But you know, he is the owner of our club, Paddy, and. Silence is quite definite, isn't it? You know,
well, yes, it is. But then, to be fair to him, if he did put something out, then you'd only get a lot of people like us three saying he's full of toilet, won't we? Yeah. So I can understand really why I don't I can understand why he doesn't come out with anything. Like I said, I'd be happy to never, ever hear from the man again.
No, I wouldn't. No, you know, I agree. But you still want to hear something because, you know, we're in crisis point now. We're at the point, you know, when there's no money coming through. We don't know when we're allowed in games. We need to be hearing something from him. He is the owner of the club.
Yeah, so yeah, you're right. The main thing I want to hear from him is just a press release saying, I've sold the club.
Yeah, brilliant. That's what we all want, Paddy.
That's all I want to hear from him.
Do you think he will, Paddy?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, but then it wouldn't surprise me if he pulls this money out of his backside that he thinks he's got for the stadium. I can't see... I'd be careful how I word this now. I can't see what the pull is for him owning Oldham Athletic. He can't be making any money. He's obviously putting money in, which, you know, fair enough, you can't knock him for. And he's not getting many thanks for it. He's putting money in and he's getting people like me come on here, say I want him to sell the club. He's getting loads of it on Twitter. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, I've took myself away from the hashtag on Twitter. I was getting involved in quite a lot of conflict and I just thought, I don't need this in my life. So, but he's getting it from all angles, isn't he? I know that there's one senior person at the club who's advised him before to sell the club because of the money that he's losing, the money he's putting in. He's never going to recoup that. He'll only lose more and still won't get the thanks for it, really, that perhaps he thinks he deserves. But I honestly don't know. I think in some ways, Corona could push him to the edge a little bit further and make him just want a clean break from it. But I think he's got this ego trip, hasn't he, where he absolutely loves the fact that he owns a football club.
But what does he own, Paddy? He owns a name.
Yeah, but when he's telling his mates what he does, he can tell them he owns a football club. He loves that ego trip, doesn't he?
So, yeah. Well, if he wants to think that, you know, that's it. We could be going out the league here, Paddy. You know,
we won't. We won't.
There's nothing to it.
We won't go out the league. We will not go out the league. The thing is, what I hear a lot is who'd buy the club? Who'd buy it? But there is always people that want to buy football clubs. Wigan had loads of offers, didn't they? There will be people that come in for us. Corny stitched him right up, Annie, really. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah. He's not going good, has he, for him?
Corny's seen him coming a mile off. But I think...
Can you blame Corny for that?
One of the things which obviously fans hold against Corny now, he turned around and said that he would sell to the right person and the future of Oldham Athletic would be secure. And people still use that to this day.
One of the reasons alarm bells started ringing with me initially is because Simon Corny said he'd only find the right person. And if Simon Corny told me it was dark outside, I'd still open my curtains to have a look.
Yeah.
So,
no, he's
hunted Abdallah out, hasn't he? Abdallah's not come to him. He went to Abdallah. So that straight away set alarm bells ringing. And then the day he was announced was Plymouth at home. And I was outside the ground just before kickoff, picking up tickets, speaking to someone who was on the coaching staff, and he was saying, we'll be the next Leighton Orient. And you're starting to think, oh, no, you wanted a clean break, and this is what... And then, to be fair, what this person said to me has actually been proven right over the years in terms of the players coming in, what's happened to the club. But going back to your original question... I've got no idea whether he's going to sell up or not. I don't see what he gets from being here, but
one of the questions.
Only the great man knows.
One of the questions which obviously the fans who do support Abdallah do say all the time is, "We've not given him time. Do you think he's had enough time?"
He's been here three years now, hasn't he? Because I know he officially took over in January, but he was here from the start of that season. And he was the reason that John Sheridan left. You know, yeah. John Sheridan, and well, you heard Gerard on his podcast, didn't you, the other week?
Yeah.
Saying all the things. So Yeah, he's had enough time, yeah. How much time do we give him?
Well, that's it, Paddy. How much time do we give him? You know, we could be running out of time. We need stability. We need it now, don't we?
Well, yeah, we do. I don't know what the right answer is, what would be the best thing, but I'd certainly be happy if he did sell the club. Yeah, I've had enough of him now.
Yeah, he's you know, I look at it, Paddy, and I think, you know, as you, like Paddy going on about Corney, you know, all of the club's been a mess for a number of years, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People might think, bloody hell, Billy, man, you're going on about Corney. You know, Abdullah, you know, I'm not here to give it Abdullah all the time. Corney wasn't innocent, and I'll have that on record right now. Corney was not innocent, but, you know, Abdullah sticking the knife in even further, isn't he, Paddy?
Oh, yeah, he is, yeah. You know? But no, it is fair to point out that it's not just been a 3-year, you know, downward trajectory. You know, it's been going on for a long time before he came. He's not helped the process. Things have sped up a little bit. But there's a lot of people at the moment that have got the blood of Latics on their hands. Corney's one. Current regime's another. Richie Wellens, for my money, is another. I know that's not probably a popular opinion. But there's lots and lots of people along the way that have just contributed to this absolute mess that we find ourselves in now. Because this is what a lot of people say to me, the kind of flip side of what they say to you is, oh, everything's Abdullah's fault. You never mention anything about the previous ownership. But I was always banging on about Simon Corney. Your mate Ross Coyne says it to me all the time. Always banging on about him.
The one thing is for what I like Corney for, he never went in the dressing room. We know about you, which we know he has done, Abdullah. That's my opinion. But you know, going in the dressing room, it's not been as bad as, you know, as Corney. Abdullah's not been, you know, I can't, it winds me up, Paddy, because you know, people just think that I absolutely hate Abdullah and love Corney. I like Corney for certain reasons. You know, I've been down to the club, Paddy, under Corney, and see for what how bad it was, Paddy, it was a state. It was grim reading. I felt sorry for him. But, it's, you know, he said to me, the club is for sale. I don't want it anymore. Fan said, I don't care. Just get rid of it. And he did.
Eventually.
And he did, Paddy. Eventually. But, and he did get rid of it. You know, and it, I loved him to this day. He sold it to someone that has not been good enough. So, for me, Corney's is just as bad as
it. I mean, you say about him not getting involved in, this is Corney, not getting involved in going into the dressing room. I don't know whether he did or didn't, but he still, Corney made a lot of signings and told managers that these players were signing. Some good, to be fair, some not so good. I know Rob Hunt was definitely a signing that he made when he came. Yeah. So this is why I kind of cut Abdullah a little bit of slack in terms of, you know, him bringing his own. I just wish he'd be honest with us, Nath. He always says to us, the coach's decision's final. So why have we got a sporting director then? What's the point of a sporting director if the coach makes the final decision?
Exactly.
If he came out and said, right, the coach coaches, the sporting director signs the players, say, right, fair enough. I'd even have more respect for him if he just appointed the sporting director as manager.
Yeah.
And just put us all out of our misery.
Well, I know we won't want that, Paddy, but no, I get your point.
But no, what I mean from the point of, instead of saying the coach chooses the players when it's quite apparent that we're paying a sporting director to be involved in the transfers, what's the point of paying a sporting director if the coach makes the decisions? No, yeah, I'd rather he just appointed his brother. But I think our new manager's already doing the youth team, isn't he?
Is he?
That's Salim, whatever he's called.
Yeah, to be fair, he has a bit of pedigree about him. But obviously, he doesn't have a clue about English football. Obviously, we're into, I think now, is it the second year of Abdullah's great plan to get to the Championship in 5 years, which he set out last season. The future, obviously, of the club, we sit 23rd in the Football League, and in Abdullah's plan, it would be promotion this season. Can you see us reaching League One?
No. No, absolutely not. No.
And no. What do you think we would be this season? What is the aim?
Do you know what? I've got no idea. I think I think, to be honest, I think most clubs are just treading water at the moment, aren't they? I think they'll probably aim for a top half finish. There's no reason why, with a decent manager, a decent recruitment, they can't go for promotion. I just don't fancy that we'll do it under the current coaching staff, under the with the current players we've got. We need quite a few reinforcements. If Wheater's not going to get brought back in, which it doesn't seem like he is, we need an experienced centre-half as well as an experienced midfielder. But the league's absolutely garbage, isn't it? The league is
it's not good.
The league is rubbish. You know, so with the right coaching staff and the right players in, then there's no reason why we couldn't. But for what we've got at the moment, I think we'll just tread around mid-table. I don't for 1 minute think we'll be near the bottom of the table come May, April, May, whenever the season finishes. There is no way, and you can put this on record and you can play it back in April, there is no way we will get relegated from a division that has got Crawley, Morecambe, Southend, Inverness, Stevenage, all of these teams have finished below. Harrogate. I thought it was just a train station. Harrogate, Barrow. Honestly, there is absolutely no chance that we are going down this season.
I do believe you, Pat, and I do think we will, you know. I know I said earlier that you could go out the league. I do believe that we will finish mid-table. But, Paddy, you look at it. You're looking at our opening five games. People might not believe you.
Yeah, no, I can understand
results,
that.
You know.
But what we've been the masters of for a long time, I know we did end up falling on our sword and getting relegated, but we'd always pull a couple of results out. We'd always paper over some cracks. Usually when things are at its worst, we would always put the paper over cracks. We did it when Scholes walked out and fans were at their angriest and Pete Wilde won his first three games in charge and it just killed everybody's anger, didn't it? All the anger, the protests that were going on. Obviously, the game got called off and then Wilde won the first three games back in charge and it just killed all momentum for any kind of anger. Latics always pull out victories, always, when they need it. And they'll win on Saturday. Nothing surer than a home win on Saturday.
I also, it doesn't help with having no fans in there, though, doesn't it?
I don't know about you, lads. I can't get myself as motivated at sat at home watching it.
It's not the same. It's boring to watch. Obviously, you've got the commentators, they talk, they don't actually see what's going on in the game.
No,
it's just not the same, is it?
No,
Premier League fans do it.
I'm sat there in like my t-shirt and shorts, scratching my balls, and I just think this isn't great. There's always like, you know, when it's getting colder now, you think, oh, at least I'm warm and I can just go and get a brew whenever I want. But I can't, like, when they scored on Saturday, scored in the last minute, I don't even think I mustered a clenched fist. I just, it's so difficult to get into. And obviously, I take Alfie and Bobby now as well to the games, and they won't sit and watch it on the laptop with me. And that's part of the enjoyment, is taking them to when we do go to the games. But I just I'm really struggling with it at the moment. Really struggling to get motivated for it.
Can you think you motivate your two kids to go and be what fans we are, Paddy?
Just the thought of it breaks my heart. The thought of it breaks my heart. The thought of him coming back. Alfie's in year one now at school. Thought of him coming back saying he wants to be a United fan or a City fan. Just kill me. We've got them all the kits and stuff. So, and they know that we go. So as long as they're interested, I'll carry on going. Because I was saying this to Natalie actually over lockdown when I was speaking to her on the phone. I personally don't enjoy going to the games, but I absolutely love taking Alfie and Bobby to the games. Absolutely love it.
You do it for them.
Yeah, and it'd like be the whole day that we'd do. We'd go to. We'd get in the ground at 3 o'clock, bang on kickoff, and then we'd go in the fans bar afterwards in the OEC, and it just everything about it. And then we'd come home, and you know, obviously we're giving the missus a break, so she's in a good mood. She's been watching Kirsty and Phil or whatever she does in an afternoon.
I just want them to have a club.
Yeah,
I just want your kids to see something, Paddy. You know, I've not seen anything. You know, how old are you now, Paddy?
32.
You know, you've not seen
I haven't,
have you?
I haven't. No, first season I can remember is the season we got relegated from the Prem. It's the first season I can remember.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's painful. Like, look at Brad. Brad, how old are you now? I forgot. How old are you?
25, me. I'm old, not his league.
I'm the rest, Brad.
No, 25, me.
25.
You used to look younger than.
You know,
I've had this discussion with many people, Paddy, about say, yeah, but Bin Man, you've seen us beat Liverpool and City. Yeah, but that's not success. We didn't win the cup.
No,
we won that game.
It was great, though, wasn't it? It was great.
Yeah, of course it was. But you know, give me a promotion over that any day.
Yeah, well, do you think we'll be allowed back in? Have you got any idea when you think we'll be going back in?
Well, to be fair, I think obviously there's been this campaign today, which again the club hasn't tweeted about. I think we're the only club which hasn't tweeted the Let Fans In campaign. I think when I just started this podcast, it was on about 90,000.
Do you know what, obviously. Brad? I think they have retweeted it because I'm sure that's where I saw it. I'm sure they retweeted it.
All right, I'm not too sure. I've seen every other club. I'm not too sure if we said us, but yeah, I think we've got a bit of pressure. Obviously, they're putting all these indoor venues. I think 1,000 fans has got to be reasonable.
It's a disgrace, isn't it?
We social distance. Yeah, it is. We social distance at Boundary Park for years. You can have a row to yourself if you want.
This is what I say, and people think I'm saying it tongue-in-cheek, but I'm really not. That stadium holds 13,000. Is it about 11 if you take into account not using the North Stand? You could get 1,800 people in that ground easily. Scrap away fans and just have Latics in the stands that are open. I cannot believe, and I know it's not Latics this, so I'm not blaming Latics at all for this. I can't understand the logic behind the people making this decision that they're saying you can't do that. They're just saying people go back to cinemas now and theatres, aren't they? You know, again, reduced capacity.
What they're saying, the government, they've turned around and said that it's not actually in the stadium. It's getting to the stadium. Apparently, a lot of people obviously go to the pub, take transport. That's where apparently they're spreading.
But pubs are open. Pubs are open, though, aren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're not shut, are they? They're still operating. They're only operating 2 hours less. Still operating.
The pubs would only let people in for what it's safe for them to do. So it's if you've got to be sat down, ain't you? But the landladies who were running these pubs would make sure that it's done safely. If people were to, I mean, I wouldn't. I'm only around the corner from the ground. But they'd make sure it's done safely so that people can go into the pub safely if they want to. It just defies all logic for me. I know we're digressing a little bit on a Latics podcast, but everything that they seem to have done about this over the last blooming 6 months is just own goal after own goal.
Yeah. It's not bad. You know, we want the fans. Go on, you lads, go. No, you know, you look at Saturday, we've got Morecambe. You know, take coronavirus out of it. Paddy, there wouldn't be 3,000 there Saturday.
No, they wouldn't.
You know, so I think we can do it.
Oh, easily.
Even with the way fans in, I think we easily can do it. You know, how many is ours? 30,200. So if you're looking at our attendance on a Saturday against Morecambe, you know.
We've also, been, man, you've got to remember, is that we've got one of the best safety officers in the country. Who saves the club all this money, and he can certainly get the job done and get
right,
it back into
thanks,
the stadium.
Thanks for listening, guys. This podcast has ended.
No, but it's fair. I just don't see how I think there's pressure from all the Football League clubs now. We were retweeting this, and a lot of fans are getting on board. I've seen Adrian Durham's had a bit of a rant today about it, and see, putting this pressure on will hopefully have the desired effect long term, because we need to get back. I always think that how could you motivate yourself as a professional footballer to play in front of nobody? One of the things that you'd thrive off being a pro is having the crowds there, even at Latics when you've only got 2,500-3,000 there.
Yeah,
definitely. What one of the things I said obviously when. It did obviously go into lockdown. People did say that it's going to stop fans going again and they find something else better to do on a Saturday. Do you think that would be the case with us? Because our fans are pretty fickle and we're doing shite in the league. Would you think we would see people, if the fans were allowed back in, would you see more fans coming or would you see less?
I don't think you'd see less. I think I think there's a lot of fans who've probably missed it. You two lads would be first in there, wouldn't you, as soon as the turnstiles open?
Yeah, we probably would, Paddy, in it, you know.
I'd be there, definitely. I'd be there if we could go Saturday. I'd be there. I'd take these two with me. I think, to be honest, Brad, it was you that asked the question, weren't it? I think you'd probably just get the same people that would go. I don't think there'd be anybody that's been overly put off by this and think, what really can other people do instead at the moment?
Yeah,
exactly.
There's not much, is there?
Exactly. No, there isn't. But, you know, you look at it, Paddy. My opinion is, I know you can say you take your two kids. Paddy, if your two kids was gone away for the weekend with the missus and you was left at home on a Saturday morning on your own, just you, would you go to Atlantics over at Road and play Morecambe Saturday?
Well, it depends. If I've not been for 6 months, I probably would. But I've had this before where the boys have had like birthday parties or something on a Saturday, and I've not gone because I can't motivate myself really to go without them. And I've even had it where I've taken them to the game, but it was a game, the Bradford game, and it got delayed. I can't remember why it got delayed.
Something was hanging off the roof.
And they were at a birthday party at 3:50. So they were going to come and do the first half and then was going to whiz them home, and then Rachel was going to take them to the party. So the game got delayed. I think they ended up doing 10 minutes and then they went off to the party, because I thought if I didn't get them ready to come with me and bring them over, I wouldn't have been asked about going.
No, what a first half, though. I do remember that game. I think we're 3-0.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
We had a cracking first half. I thought we played really well. You know, we really did. But like I said, I weren't being awful that, Paddy. I'm just saying, oh, no, you take your kids there and all that. But we do need, you know, fans coming back, because, you know, if we don't, the government don't help us in any way, we could see clubs going under, Paddy. We really could.
Yeah, I've got a theory in me. I don't think the EFL will allow it to happen. After what happened with Bury. And I know you can say Macclesfield, but Macclesfield, you know, aren't really the EFL's problem anymore. Are they as cruel as it sounds, once they drop to the National League, they're not the EFL's problem. I just can't see them letting it happen again. Obviously, it might come back to bite me on the arse if it ever happens to Latics, but I just think they've had that much backlash over Bury that I just can't see that they'd allow it to happen again.
Well, I hope not, but we need to be back in them stadiums. If I had to guess, I think we could be back in just after Christmas.
Do you think it'll be that long? I'm hoping it won't even be that late. I mean, me and Sam, you came to Cheltenham with me. We put in the diary to go to Cambridge on the 5th of December, but I'm not sure away fans will be allowed in that early.
I don't think they might. If I'm honest, I think we'll be allowed in home games only. I think away games will be banned all season.
Yeah, and then it's just typical. We'll definitely get a big FA Cup tie away, won't we?
Oh, that.
Yeah,
we said that.
100%. Yeah, just to end, obviously, on the podcast, obviously, you've already banged on a home win Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. They could put us three in the centre midfield and we'd still beat Morecambe.
Well, you want to come and see our six aside on a Wednesday night, Paddy?
Oh, it's like Jan Mulby.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling.
Yeah, our results have been 9-1, 10-3, 8-3.
All right.
Well, I see a positive. It worked for their 10 goals with a 1-3-0. You know, I see a positive from it. But no, go on. But prediction then, Bradders?
Oh, we've got to beat Mark, I think, again. I think it's going to be 2-0 easy win.
Paddy, I know you said we'll win, but
yeah, I don't fancy us to keep a clean sheet. Go for 3-1 win. 3-1 win.
I'll go for 4-1 Oldham.
Hey, what do you think of the Australian striker, the way?
Blackwood.
Yeah.
He's not really had a chance.
Is he playing tonight, by the way? I'll just check that, actually. No,
he's on the bench.
It's a game tonight, you look at it and think, let's play him. In a game like this, want you to see what he's about.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Is he a striker? Is he a winger? I don't know where he plays. Because he started up front, didn't he?
Yeah, he started up front. Yeah, I think he can play right wing. I'm not. But with him being that tall, I think you would think he's a centre forward, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But I don't. I really don't know. See, we don't see a lot of it, Paddy, because we only see it on a... I see a different view from a telly to a match.
Yeah, well, you do. It is completely different, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know you see a lot more angles on TV, but when you're at the game, you can see where people are at, positions are actually played. You know, on a TV, it's not. You might think, I don't know, that's me anyway.
He's a good-looking chap, isn't he?
Oh, you on about me, Paddy?
Not this time, no.
But cheers for coming on, Paddy.
No, no worries, lads, no worries.